have any cute video this morning, but I do got the word. We could start with a trivia. We played this little trivia game. So who in the Christmas story, what is Ralphie's brother's name? In the Christmas, see, I was like, I couldn't remember that for anything. Where was the first Thanksgiving? Where did it take place? Plymouth Rock, yep. Do you remember any other ones? Oh, who played in the first Thanksgiving football game?
Ever?
Ever. Wow.
Cowboys and the Indians, right?
No. It was the Lions and who? And the Bears. Okay, Jenny gets...
Oh,
I don't know anything, so just don't listen to me. Okay, that's all I got. Now straighten up. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. I pray, God, for a spirit of utterance to help me to give this message the way it's been brewing in my heart since October, God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Since it's, you know, Thanksgiving, I just was reminded of the simple things that, to remind myself that all the simple blessings that I have to be thankful for. Sometimes I wake up in my bed and I'm like, God, I am so thankful to wake up in a bed, in a bedroom, in a house, in a town, in a state, in a country where I live free. And I'm just so grateful for that. I'm also grateful for my sheets are clean. I have clean bedding. I have hot and cold running water in my house. I have a washer and dryer and laundry soap and fabric softener. I mean, these are simple things, but I absolutely love clean sheets that smell good, you know, and I just love that. I have electricity to run my washer and dryer, coffee maker, blow dryer. I love those things too. TV, lights, and electricity for every device we own. I have food, clothing, shelter. I have a car to get me places. I have money. I have this wonderful church body and all of you. We will have been married in March for 40 years. I'm thankful for that. We've been a part of this church for 37 years. I'm thankful for that. We are continuing to grow and change. I have friends in many different areas of my life. I am very grateful for that. I have a family that loves me and I love them. I have 6 siblings that we've been working together for the last year, working on my parents' house and garage, and we're still working on it. We haven't thrown any punches yet. I've thought about it, but we haven't done it yet. I'll be glad when that is done. Really, really glad. But going a little bit deeper into Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for the tough times also. Everyone has a life, and we all have burdens to bear. And I tell you what, this worship music was perfect today because it talks about circumstances. We all have circumstances. God's word tells us to pick up your cross, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about that later. This message started back in October, because in November, right before Thanksgiving, I get crazy. It's a trigger for me. And so in October this year, I started praying about it and talking to God about it. And I'm like, Lord, I want to move forward, you know, help me with this. And that's where this message began to develop. And this was the scripture that God gave me. It was 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. God reminded me of this. God has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. And then my question to myself was, do I believe that? Did I believe it? Do I believe it? Here's also what it says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. I love this part, partakers of divine nature. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, the scripture that talks about leaning our entire human personality on him. Then I want to go to Psalms 139, 13 through 18. That's the next verse that God gave me. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the sand. I awake and you are still with me. And you think about that. And I know I've said this before, but God is, he's infatuated with us. Anybody that spends that much time thinking about us, he's infatuated with us. And you know, you've heard of those think tanks? God is like God, a constant think tank about us. And I couldn't figure anything out, but maybe if I sat and thought about stuff as long as God did, maybe I could come up with some answers. But God's already done that for us. And in this journey, God is teaching us to trust him. This begins to tell me that God knows me and he sees me. How many times have you ever felt like you weren't seen or your voice wasn't heard? Coming from a big family, I always felt like I was just one of the crowd. But God sees each one of us. He hears each one. He sees you and he hears you. He has a pattern for our life. Craig, would you grab that blanket, that knit blanket out of that bag? I forgot to bring it up with me. This is a blanket, and God says he knit us together in our mother's womb. This blanket is a really cool blanket because will you be my lovely Vanna and hold it up, kind sir? Very good. And you can see there's lots of different patterns in the blanket. I mean, there it's really cool. It's really pretty. It's soft. Sue would know. Sue's probably like, what's that pattern? Aren't you? You're calculating, I can tell. But even the edging is beautiful. It's just really cool. Well, God knit us together. You can just lay that up here, okay? God knit us together with a plan and a purpose. And when you're knitting, it's row by row, right? Loop by loop. Is that what we call it? Loop or knit or I don't know. I should have had Sue up here accompanying me. But anyway, God's got that pattern for us. He's got a plan for us. And you know what the other cool thing is? And I want to get ahead of myself so I don't miss anything. This is how our lives are like. But let's say we decide to do our own pattern and not do God's pattern. Well, we can because God gave us our own free will. We can stop at any time. We can stop that knitting throughout our life anytime we want. And that reminds me of when we were going through my mom's things. We'd find these totes after totes of material and knitting and things like that. And there was one tote that had several knitting pieces together that weren't finished. They were just stopped. They were just plain and they just stopped. You know, and that's what our lives can be like too. We can just decide to get off this pattern, do our own thing, and our life is going to look nothing like what God created it to look like. But God says, and this is what God says to us. I created you for this, and it will be the best for you. But if you want to do your own thing, you can, but it won't be the best for you. And how silly are we to think that we know better than God? It's like this. I have this wooden woven basket. I love baskets too. And I've used this wooden woven basket for lots of different things. I've used it to carry plants in. I've used it to put Christmas decorations in, to decorate with it. I've used it to put scissors, tape, pens, paint, you know, things like that when I'm doing Christmas wrapping. They're great things to put a gift in and give it. They're really good. I keep colored pencils in them. You get the idea, right? And what do all those items have, what's all the same about them? Anybody think of what that is? They're all dry, right? They're all dry. So you get the idea of that wooden woven basket. But let's say I want to use my wooden woven basket to scrub my floor. So I put my wooden woven basket in the sink. I put soap in it. I put water in it. I turn that water on really fast, and I get it about halfway full, and I'm going up the steps with my wooden woven basket. By the time I get upstairs, I look down, and the basket's empty. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this darn basket? You know, and I look behind me. I've got a mess and water everywhere, down the steps, down the hall. It's horrible. Well, I'm mad at my wooden woven basket. So then I'm going to think, you know what? I really like the idea. No one's ever tried this before. I'm going to use this wooden woven basket to put water in it to feed my dog. Just give my dog water. So I fill it up with water. I put it down. I'm like, Jax, come get your water. And he looks at it, and he's like, well, you dummy, it's empty. So it doesn't work for that either. And I'm just like, oh, get frustrated. We do that in our lives as well. I'm going to give it one more shot. Because I'm a hard-headed person. I'm going to use my wooden woven basket to boil my potatoes in for Thanksgiving. So I fill that sucker up. I get my stove nice and hot because I'm thinking, I need to prepare. I need to do something different. So I turn my burner on. I get it nice and hot. I fill that sucker up, and I hurry up and get it. I mean, I go as fast as I can because I'm going to make sure that water stays in there. I'm going to get it over there. I put it on the stove, and what happens? Singes, you know, water sparking all over. The wooden woven basket melts or disintegrates. There's water all over. I kick my wooden woven basket. I kick it to the curb. You useless thing. How many times do we do that in our life? How many times do we try to do things that we were never meant to do? We kick ourselves to the curb. We have a fit with ourselves. We curse it. We curse ourselves. We blame God. We're like, God, I thought you had a plan for me. This is what we look like. We use ourselves for things we were not created to do. We curse ourselves because things don't work out the way we wanted. We say we are useless. They are useless. We ruin ourselves, and we ruin others around us. We leave a mess behind us. We don't get things done that we wanted to get done. We just can't figure it out. We do it over and over and over again, living a frustrated life, wondering why life is so hard at times, wondering why we don't fit in, wondering why we have a string of bad relationships, wondering why we don't have peace, mad at ourselves and mad at others, and even mad at God. And if we're not mad at ourselves, we blame everyone else for our choices. All because we use our lives for things God did not intend for us to be used for. All because we thought we knew better than God. I think it's important to take time and examine our hearts. Find out what God made us to be. The Bible talks many times about leaning our entire human personality on Him. Here's an example out of 1 Timothy 1:19. Hold fast to faith. That leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence, and having a good, clear conscience by rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience. This is out of the Amplified Classic. Some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. Do you notice here there's two consciences? There's God's conscience and there's our conscience. And when we decide we're going to do it our way in our conscience, we shipwreck our faith. And we're like, well, I thought I was right. I had peace about it, you know. But whose conscience are we listening to? Where are we leaning our entire human personality on? This means we lean our entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. We are going to have a clear conscience. When we do that, we're going to have a clear conscience. If we reject our own, that can be tricky. You got to know the difference. You got to know the word of God. Some people, some individuals have shipwrecked their faith by getting the two consciences confused. There is God and then there's our own. Also, the word says iron sharpens iron. We need each other all the time because iron is going to sharpen. Sometimes we get dull, don't we? Sometimes we go through life and life has been batting us around and we're not so sharp anymore. And we start getting dull. But when we hang around the body of Christ and we worship together and we listen to one another, we get sharpened and we're sharpening others. It's when we're sharpening each other, we're each getting sharpened at the same time. That's so cool. In James 1:22, it says, but people who do the word, not merely people who hear it, deceive themselves. So people that just hear it and don't do it are deceiving themselves. In another translation, it says, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers, deceiving themselves. In the New Living Translation, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. We are easily tricked by our own selves. In James 1:22, in the Amplified, it says, be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks he is something special, when in fact he is nothing special except in his own eyes, he deceives himself. Galatians 3, New International, if anyone thinks you are something when you're not, they deceive themselves. I think there's a lot of different ways to say we can easily be deceived. I remember reading the Bible, this was many, many years ago, and I sat there and I was like, oh, you know, God, I think I got a pretty good handle on that, you know. And just as plain as day, I heard God say, yeah, I know you do, but you're deceived. I was like, what? I mean, first, it was arresting to my soul that when you're deceived, you really don't know it. You really don't see it. And, you know, he straightened me out about what it was. I don't even remember what it was that I was reading. I was more taken back by how I was so easily deceived. He corrected me. I'm like, yep, that makes sense. Okay, got it. But also, knowing how easily I am deceived. So I think we all are if we're not on guard. That's another reason why we need each other, you know. Some people, we can see things in other people's lives that other people aren't seeing. We need to take the time, you know, if something's bothering us, take the time, take the initiative to talk it out, reason it out. By the way, Jenny, you are very wise, I just wanted to say. It just popped into my head. I was actually watching you this morning, and I'm like, because I was thinking of something this week, and I was like, I'm going to, you know, I was fussing. And Jenny, you said something this week, and I was like, oh, she's so wise, and here we are Sunday morning, and you're still wise. here she is. So, and I, you're not special, but you're very wise. But something, you know, things happen in our lives that we gain wisdom from later on. You know, we can build on something that bad happened, and we saw how God worked it out. So the next time something like that happens, we see how God can work it out for us. Like I said, this message started back in October because every Thanksgiving, I am triggered. And I know this about myself. I know it to the bottom of my core. I know it's going to happen. I'm learning to deal with it, to get ahead of it ahead of time. So in October, like I said, of this year, I started to think about it and talk to God about it. It's been 7 years that I got the worst news of my entire life. It was gut-wrenching, dropped me to my knees, blood-curling cry came out of me. It's my cross to bear now. And I know that every year that's going to happen. There was one year I could not stop crying. Craig said, "You're scaring me." I said, "It's scaring me." He goes, "Please go to the doctor." And I'm like, "That's a good idea." I went to the doctor. I got some nice medicine. And I like my medicine. And nobody's going to tell me that I don't have faith. Because God's given us wisdom. He's given us doctors. He's given us medicine. And I needed it. And I'm still me. And I still have that cross to bear. But I'm not not crying constantly. In Luke 14:27, we're going to talk about that cross we have to bear, about our circumstances. Whoever does not carry his own cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow after me, believe in me, conforming to me, example in living, and if need be, in suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me, cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27 out of the Message, and this is titled Figure the Cost. One day when the large crowd of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned around and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, cannot be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross, follow behind me, can't be my disciple." Luke 14:27 in the Living, "And no one can be my disciple who does not carry his own cross." And you think sometimes, wow, God, that's really harsh. You want me to give up my family? You want me to die? But the thing is, we all have a cross to bear. God's not asking us to pick up our cross to be harsh. He knows the hard life we have. You know, when God was knitting us together in our mother's womb, and you see all those different patterns in there, and there's a pattern, there's little circles, and there's little knobs and things like that. It's like God looked at us. He knew our circumstances. He knew where we would be born. He knew the circumstances around our birth. He knew our parents. And God's like, he's calculating. I think this girl's going to need this in her future. Oh, yeah, I see that, Dad. And he knits something into us. I see where they live. It's going to be cold. I'm going to give her an appreciation for snow or, you know, whatever it may be. Those are kind of silly things. Well, not the dad part, but anyway. God knits us together with things that we need. He gives us all things that pertain to godliness when we were knit, when we were formed in the secret place. And it's up to us to learn the pattern, to follow the pattern, and trust him. So, we all have something in our lives that is hard, difficult to expect. It's difficult to accept, I mean. We all have it. We wish that it was not like this. We didn't have to face it. How many of you have faced things? You're like, not this again. I remember the second time I gave birth, when the labor pain started, I thought, oh, shit. You don't want to do it again because you already know it once. You know it's going to hurt. And you're like, and there's no turning back. There's just not. You have to go through it. And, you know, I've learned in life that when those hard things happen, you know, it's like, oh, no, not this again. Well, we're growing. We're learning, you know. I'm learning to pick up that cross and bear it. So we all have something in our lives that is hard, difficult to accept. We wish that it wasn't like that. We wish we did not have to face it, go through it, we wish we didn't have to go through it. We wish we didn't even have to acknowledge that it existed. God wants us to pick up our cross and follow Jesus so we're not stuck. Jesus wants us to take up our cross and walk with him. Jesus wants us to get us moving in despite of the life that we have. Here's the option. The option is, if you don't pick up your cross and follow him, We can try and walk around it. I mean, think about this. Think about that big, huge cross. And we decide, no, I'm not picking that baby up. Not going to do it. We can try to walk around it. And most likely we'll run into it at times. We're going to trip over it. We're going to fall on it. Probably kick it, curse it. And we're just going to stay stuck. But there, been there, done that, and it hurts, doesn't it? And it hurts others as well. This year was one of my best Thanksgivings ever. I love Thanksgiving. I love to do the table. I do my good china. I set it really pretty. It's just beautiful. I love to do all the cooking. I love to get up early and fill the house with the nice smells of the dinner. I used to have on the Thanksgiving Day parade in the background, and I looked forward to people coming, and I just love the whole thing about it. Well, that hasn't been happening for the last several years, and for the last several years, I've been trying to dig up and make this illusion of Thanksgiving, Hallmark Thanksgiving, pull it together, and it's just been so stressful and just so hard. So this year, Craig and I decided that we're part of AA and Al-Anon. There's a clubhouse in Mason City. So this year, we decided I was going to take my talent and my fun of the holiday and go be a blessing. So I picked up my cross, and I said, hey, I'm going to help. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, I was down at the clubhouse decorating the tables, all the things I love to do. I cut up the potatoes, got them boiling. I did some cleaning, scrubbing the floors, washing down some walls, that type of thing. I had made a pie and deviled eggs and cranberry sauce and things like that. They're easy. Came home, picked up Craig, went back. We ate. The food was so good. Oh, my gosh, so good. The fellowship was great. We came back home. We took a little nap, went back at 2 o'clock for a meeting. And it was so cool because it was an open AA meeting, and I got to sit and listen to other people's stories. I got to hear what they were thankful for, and it's just so touching. Some people had been sober for many years, some people just a few months, some were with their spouses, some weren't, some had no family at all. But it was very touching to share those moments. And for me, it was the best Thanksgiving because I was so thankful to be there, and it was different than how I always wanted my Thanksgiving to be. I wanted this, but I didn't have that. So I picked up my cross, accepted it, and Jesus led me to something different. And I think we can do that in all areas of life. And like I said, I'm thankful for the Word of God, how it encourages me. And I don't know that until I have difficult times. And I know you're like that too. So I hope it's just an encouragement in this message that during the difficult times, we dig in. I'm thankful for the word that it tells me that God has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. I'm thankful for the word of God that says he knit me together in my mother's womb with thoughts and love and a pattern for life and a purpose for life. I'm thankful for the word that it teaches me to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. And you know, and in this, since October, God has been beginning to show me some things, some areas in my life that have just been kind of difficult. And I hope I got to say something to Mark and Tammy, because I'm really glad you guys are back. And I know when you first came back, I think I had you at arm's length. And I know the reason for that, because I've had people leave in my life. And when you came back, I thought, they might just leave again. So I'm going to just kind of keep them like this. And sometimes with you guys, Pastor Dave and Chris, when you leave, I'm like, they're just going to leave. I know it's fine. I know you come back. But I'm like, they're going to leave. So God has shown me I have a real issue with people leaving. When I was little, my dad left. You know, I mean, he begins to show you these things. And if you have traits in your life, you have this pattern, and it's not the pattern that God designed for me. It's a pattern that I need to break out of. And so since he showed me that, Nancy May walks in, and I'm like, Nancy, I was so happy to see her. And because of that healing, I'm so glad you guys are here. I just welcome you and I just love you with all my heart. And that's what God can do when we pick up our cross. So I'm just really encouraged and just so, so thankful for this body. It's so fun to see what's happening. So that's all I have. I think I'm probably pretty short, aren't I? That's okay, isn't it? Good, good. So thanks.